Episode 226 of Guardians of the Geekery podcast, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks. And this episode, the Guardians speak, talk, discuss, dissect Cloak and Dagger, the TV show, And make sure you also listen to episode 225 before this, where we had Matilda from Charlotte Comic Con arriving in Charlotte August 18th and 19th, their first two-day show. But they've got very special guest, Rick Leonardi, who was the a fantastic artist on one of the first Cloak and Dagger miniseries. So make sure to check that out if you're in the area, but at least listen to the podcast and learn about Cloak and Dagger. See what the differences are in the comics, all that fun stuff. Have fun. Thanks.
Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
All right, episode 226, we made it. Talking this show about Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, it's TV week. We haven't done one in a little bit.
No, and I just want to give a shout out, just say we're thinking about you, Carol. Doing some family stuff is going on, so we are thinking about you. We miss you, and but Tiffles is here, and the Giddy Geeker is here, and Starnslord is here.
He is.
So we will help you guide you through these first three episodes of Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah. So this is a TV series on Hulu. But they are releasing the episodes on a weekly basis, I believe. So,
fucking Hulu. You know, just give us all our episodes.
Oh,
like, you know, nobody wants to wait. Just give us all our episodes.
Well, listen, it's fine. That's Tiffany's perspective.
First, you need to get caught up, and then you can complain.
I mean, true. I've not even watched all that's like, available, but, you know.
We're still two episodes more, but yeah.
Yeah,
it's the principle.
So we all watched the first three episodes, as you pointed out. So.
Yes, which it's very, like you were saying before the broadcast here, Joey, it is a very much an origin story, and it's very drawn out, which kind of matches that part of the South, Louisiana, I think.
Storytellers. Yeah, they don't get to the point too quick.
A little drawn out. So.
Yeah.
But so, it's still, I think it still moves along pretty well.
Now, it's based on a comic series, but you said it takes some of it in a different direction, right?
It does, and I don't think it's a bad thing what they do, because they did have to modernize it. The first, they actually debuted in Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man in 1983, which was in the height of the Just Say No to Drugs, so everything was anti-drug then. So the origin, I guess I can spoil a comic book from 1983 at this point, but the origin was they were actually experimented on by some drug pushers. And their experimental drugs, and they got their powers. So, and
for those of you trying to do the math, 1983 was 35 years ago.
Ouch.
Yeah, I mathed.
Yeah, it was weird. I went to Wells Fargo ATM, and I had started back with them when they were first union. But on the screen was like, "Thanks for being with us for 25 years," and I just thought it was a generic message. And then I was like, oh, no. I looked at my card later. It's like 1993. I was like, holy shit. I've been with 25 years I've been banking with these guys that have been first union Wachovia.
You, and just so you know.
Yeah.
Well, recommitted. Recommitting.
Thank you so much.
So amazing.
Anyway.
So
it's an older series, but so they have modernized it. Although the powers are pretty much in line, I think, from what I remember from the comics.
Tiffany, Tiffles, you have not read the comic book at all.
No.
So from your perspective, What is the story?
The story is of it opens with two children who one's a girl who is being picked up by her dad, who you are led to believe is the engineer, scientist of some sort, and he's on the phone talking about some sort of issue, which I'm going to take a big guess and say is related somehow to what happens, and they get into a car accident and end up in the water, and from the boy's perspective, he wants to impress his brother and his friends, so he steals a car radio, and his brother catches him, and they're trying to take back the radio, and they're caught by two police officers, and one bad police officer ends up shooting the older brother. And the younger boy jumps in trying to save his brother, who fell in the water when he was shot. And when they're both kids are in the water, like a ship explodes, and there's some crazy light in the water and some crazy smoky hands or something. I don't know. And that's... I promise you, three episodes in, I don't know that much more about that. But yeah. Smoky hands.
Smoke on the water. Da, 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 da.
So then fast forward, you know, the show, they're teenagers. And, you know, they are living their lives and they run into each other. And all of a sudden, shit starts going down.
Yeah. In a big way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely... I wouldn't necessarily say it's only for teenagers. It's definitely got a very dark overtone to it, as opposed to Marvel's The Runaways, which always had the California bright light or whatever. This is more that Netflix-y type of, you know, lighting. But yeah, I would definitely say this was a darker story. Set in New Orleans.
Yes.
So there are some... overtones of magic and voodoo and stuff like that as well into it. But the young boy is a black man, and yes, the young girl is a white girl. Mm-hmm. And
Tyrone and Candy.
So yeah, and she's blonde, so she's like white in every way. Although her personality is dark, and he's the good boy.
Yes.
That's like never kissed, never drunk or whatever. And but when they try to touch, they end up blasting away from each other. So it's a magnetic thing. They keep getting brought together over the course of three episodes, but every time they try to actually physically touch, they end up far away from each other.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that part is kind of part of the closest part that's in line with the comics, is, from what I remember, is just that, you know, they don't know exactly what's happened to them right away. In the comics, they were adolescents that were kidnapped and experimented with. So I actually kind of like this origin story a little bit better, and it ties them a lot further back, which I think is kind of interesting. So
yeah,
gives them more to work with too, as far as the parents, and they can have those flashbacks, and it's kind of interesting. So it's like you're saying, it's sort of for teenagers, maybe a little bit older. I'm an old guy. I don't think this was really aimed at me, but I do watch it and I do like it. But I can tell I'm really not the audience for this.
You're not the demographic.
I'm not the demo, and I'm fine with that. So,
yeah. There's definitely drug use. There's definitely sexual interactions. There is a potential rape scene. There's definitely sex scenes. Although there wasn't any nippleage or anything like that. So it's clothing on, but very descriptive stuff happening, at least with the fifth and sixth episodes. So,
And this what used to be ABC Family, this is now Freeform. So that's, but they're still kind of in that, I'd say, late teenager to college age type of demo for most of their programming.
So it isn't a Hulu show.
It's not a Hulu show originally. It does, but they do have an agreement, so it winds up on Hulu.
Okay,
the next day. Watch some of these. So, yeah.
Oh, I see.
It comes up on Hulu within 24 hours.
Sort of like, you know, over with Black Lightning, that's a CW show, but it pops up on Netflix really quickly afterwards. So I don't know. All these little agreements to kind of broaden the...
I really feel like that, and you know, I was on a panel last week about like Make Mine Marvel, and one of the things I was saying is I kind of feel like Marvel and Disney, you know, because they own all these Marvel properties now, they kind of are hitting every media platform they can, so that when they do decide to do this Disney app where you have to buy it all from there, right, they can just suck it all back, and you know, whatever your fancy is, you're going to be like, I need to see that, so I'll pay the $14.95 a month to watch it. So
yeah, I think it's interesting because I, on the comic side, I had been resisting getting Marvel Unlimited, which is kind of a just a thousands upon thousands of their comics, and I finally took the plunge because it was 2 cents for the first month to try for Ant-Man. So I did that today. But then I was thinking, you know, just over in the DC side, they're about to launch. They don't have a DC Comics app, but they're about to launch. I forget what they're labeling it, but it's basically a DC app and service you'll pay for, and it'll have comic books, and they're going to debut the Teen Titans on there. So it's kind of a hybrid of comics and shows. So I'm wondering if eventually Disney will figure they have to compete with that and kind of merge theirs as well, because this stuff starts adding up, man.
It really does. You know, you know,
you cut the cord and you're like, whoa, I'm actually paying more than I was for cable at some point.
I don't know if we actually are paying more because we never stopped paying for Amazon Prime, Netflix, or Hulu,
right,
while we had cable, but adding the HBO, and now we've added
Sling and all that.
Yeah, Sling, I think we're up to $35 a month, right?
Yeah. So.
So it does start 35 plus 15. So I guess that makes us at 50, and we're saving 90. So we're creeping up there.
Yeah.
I think obviously, if Disney goes that direction, which, I mean, let's be honest, it most certainly will. But, so, you know, perhaps you could argue that the Disney channel app, where, you know, they obviously have a channel now, but, you know, the app or service may be one that you have to maintain sort of full time because their hands are in so many things, particularly things that you're interested in. Yeah. But I would say, I mean, like, sometimes if you can do things strategically, so like if your big thing is The Handmaid's Tale, if you could just subscribe, you know, you could let the season run, and then when it's done, you know, just subscribe for a month and get in whatever else you want to get in on Hulu and then cancel it. I mean, that's what I'm doing for CBS All Access right now. I also have Amazon Prime and Hulu and Netflix and HBO. And
yep.
So I get your point, like things add up, but I'm like, I really want to watch this one show, so I'm just going, and the second season ended, so I'm like, I'm actually hoping that I can finish the show within the week free trial. But if not, I'm like, okay, $10 to watch two seasons of a show is not going to kill me, but I will not be going like beyond that. CBS don't mean that much to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that makes it really hard, is that on one hand, you, when we were young, before you, Tiffles, but, you know, you had the three channels plus the one independent, and then you had two UHF channels. So you had like five or seven. And then all of a sudden you had cable, and you had hundreds more. And then, you know, then the price of cable just became so ridiculous that a lot of people cut it and went back to like Roku or whatever, or Netflix and Hulu. And then now you've got Sling, so maybe you've got 20 or 30 channels, yeah, or antenna. And then you turn around and then it's like, again, you're starting to limit yourself to just, these are the channels that I watch, and I'll only watch them for this month or this month or this month. And so then you're really putting the pressure on the big names to have to come up with content that makes you want to keep it full time.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Which I feel Netflix does super well. I mean, because sometimes I, like, you know, feeling cheap and I'm like, I'm so tired of paying for all these things, I'm just going to cancel it. And then I'm realistically like, I think I just spent that at Starbucks, what I spend on this, you know, earlier today. So it's like, okay, well, really, in the long run, am I going to just not have that Starbucks the one time or have Netflix? But point is, they always have something. Even if it's not their own content, something's coming out where it's like, oh, yeah, I can watch this whole season of whatever. Hulu, I don't necessarily feel quite as much of an affinity towards, because I do have access to DirecTV Now. So in theory, if I'm really into something, I could make the time to watch it as it airs. But and I also have access to, just probably like you guys with the Sling, you know, you can watch, you can access their content on their apps.
Right.
So, but I feel like Netflix doesn't, I mean, I'm sorry, Hulu doesn't hold my attention quite as much.
Yeah, I was going to delete that because, what was it? Oh, they changed their interface, which is still just got awful. It's like poopy. This text-based navigation, which is bonkers to me with a visual format. I've said it way too much probably, but I don't like the interface at all. And they haven't changed it. And I was like, people really like this? But yeah, I think I kept it because we were going to do the Runaways. There's always some reason. It's almost like that gym membership that's mm-hmm. like, which, yeah, it's like, you know, you're like,
I have that wedding next month. Yeah. I'm going to work out.
Right.
No, so, but, I'm not.
Right. So, but it is, well, you never do, but you think you will.
It is funny, like, how many things in life have become subscription-based. I mean, I have a beard, so I use a really cheap razor, but there's like a Razor Club, which they found is actually cheaper than going and buying a 10-pack of razors.
Yeah. This podcast brought to you by Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah, exactly. And like we finally broke free of the Funko Pop different.
Let's be honest.
Subscriptions for now.
They canceled them.
No, they're back though with Amazon.
I know they switched them to Amazon Prime, so we have to re-sign up for them, and we were too lazy. Although I looked at it.
You told me no, that's
right. I said no, though, because we were, so, you know, we have all these shelves out here, and we have the Stranger Things, and actually there's a third season of Stranger Things Funko Pops out there, and I really want them because there's a Bob, and I have a thing for Sean Astin, so. Mm-hmm.
Rudy?
Yeah. No, I loved him from Toy Soldier when he was in that shower scene. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, so I was like, you know, I really want to get that. And so we were putting some shelves up, and then we were realizing that when we get the new series, we're going to have to put up even more shelves. And then Matt actually took the time and counted how many Stranger Things we have, just Stranger Things, and we have 30.
Oh, my gosh.
And they average $10 a piece. And that's, you know, $300.
Influencing your
right
decision
there.
To not expand.
We've slowed our roll, yes.
We have. Plus, you know, we only have a 1,600 square foot house. So, yeah, we're kind of slowing our roll on that. But yeah.
There is wall space still, guys.
I know.
You could keep going.
And we do have actually free shelves, but.
And then I got an email from Entertainment Earth, and it has all the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. Then they're like, well, you can get all of these from us, though. And I was like, no.
Well, maybe now you just kind of like, I very rarely buy DVDs, very, very rarely, but occasionally I will. If it's like a Criterion collection of something I really love that's on Blu-ray, you know, or it has like really good extras or something like that. But I have to like really love it.
Or it's not mainstream, so it may be harder to find down the road.
True.
I
maybe treat it that way. Like,
so I was kind of looking at our stack of DVDs, not to like,
uh-oh.
I know. But then I was like, there's a part of me, given the current political climate and Spielberg, that they may change the content. I mean, if it's everything is digital online, then they could do like George Orwell's 1984, where they paint the wall at night and in the morning it says something different. And a part of me is like, well, if we do everything digital, think about how much space we could have if all of our books were digital and all that was digital. And I was like, but if we give them the power to be our storage facility, then what's going to keep them from changing the content that we thought we knew? So, I mean, not to get politically theorist, not to get all of...
Well, I mean, my Herc, that's been...
I don't have an aluminum hat or anything, but...
Well, I mean, there is a point to it because, you know, our friend Herc, he is one of those guys who actually reviewed a lot of the terms of service from Apple that nobody actually reads because it's a billion pages long. But you don't actually own that music.
Nope.
The music that you buy, you don't actually own it. It's a lease from them.
Yep.
So like $1.40 or something like that. But it's like they they could change it and just say that's it.
Oh yeah, I had a playlist set up on Amazon Music, and I went back and I knew I had like 99 songs on it, and then all of a sudden I had 96, and it was like three of the songs that I'd put on the playlist are no longer leased by Amazon Music.
So yeah,
and so it just went away.
But I mean, you know, it's like Best Buy just announced they're no longer as of July they're no longer carrying music in any of their stores. And I believe it is early 2019, they're stopping DVDs. Mm-hmm. They'll still carry some Blu-rays, but so they see the writing on the wall too. It's like it's people aren't buying as many of these.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, it was interesting.
So that, and I mean, like, you know, never know with the internet how things might go or whatever. But like, if you have electricity and a TV and a DVD player, you've got hours of entertainment. I mean, that's what we did.
Yeah,
10
yeah.
years ago, you'd watch a DVD. Kind of a thing. So, I mean, it's worth keeping even just for that. Like, you might one day go, like, I'm turning my internet off. I, you know, have a phone. I don't need it other than all these streaming services, and that's too expensive, or whatever. Net neutrality might go out of control or something like that. And you might go, okay, well, but you'll still have your DVDs.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. So, that's you know, and books, you don't even need electricity.
True.
Just candlelight. So.
Very true. And I guess we can kind of say we're down to one blockbuster in the United States of America that's left. So there's one soldier hanging on in Oregon. But
Oregon or Alaska?
It's actually Oregon. I thought it was Alaska. They closed the two in Alaska, which they said the ones in Alaska, like there were a lot, relatively like eight or nine left, but... internet's very expensive there unless you're in a major city because it's so spread out. It's sort of like that satellite where you pay, it's almost like dial up where you pay quite a bit, but yeah, somewhere in Oregon they're holding on to the one store. So,
and VizArt Video is still going strong. Yes, here in Charlotte.
They're awesome. Thank goodness. So please go rent stuff from them.
Support local. If you don't support local, it won't be here later.
Yeah. Oh, so one of the, getting back to Cloak and Dagger, one of the changes the TV show made was everything back in the Marvel days was set in New York City, and then DC had their fake New York City, which was Gotham and those type of things. But I think it is refreshing that it's set in Louisiana, New Orleans. Yeah. So.
Well, and I think it's good for the story too, because of the fact that in the comic book, the boy definitely has a cloak, mm-hmm. and, or the male character definitely has a cloak. Tyrone definitely has a cloak. And the fact that... I'm sorry. A little bit of a spoiler. It's past fine. Episode 3. But the way that they introduce the cloak in episode 5 makes sense because of the location.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool, you know? And I think you wouldn't have been able to work that in as easily if it wasn't New Orleans. So...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I also like seeing Gloria Rubin. She plays the mom of Tyrone, and she does a great job.
Yeah, I think the acting's pretty solid. With the mom, Tandy's mom as well, I think she's really good.
And it definitely had moments of surprise. There's definitely things that I didn't think were going to happen. Like, I am not finding this series predictable.
I'll give you that. I think it's hard to figure out what's going on. I mean, particularly at the point in which, you know, I've watched.
There's still so many flashback scenes until like episode 4 or 5.
Okay.
You're almost to the non-flash. There are always going to be some flashbacky things because it's a mystery.
Sure.
It's trying to figure out their origin story. So at least for this season, I foresee this being a mystery. So there is going to be information that you have to find out. But I'm liking it. I really do. Like, I have a hard time, Matt and I've been watching it together, and sometimes I have a hard time waiting for him.
Oh, interesting.
That's good.
So what would you grade it so far?
Right now I would grade it as a B, a strong B to B plus. I don't know that I'm always going, you know, I think it's hard for a series because in a TV, a movie, you can walk out of Black Panther or something like that, be like, yes. But when you have to sustain that kind of enthusiasm over 10 episodes or 13 episodes or 20 episodes, depending on the series. It's a little bit harder to do that, especially because we're a little more critical and cynical as geeks. But it's definitely a strong BB plus. I'm enjoying it, and I definitely want to finish it, where I'm still on episode one of Luke Cage.
Oh, what about you, Matt?
I'd give it a B. Again, I don't think it's aimed at me. But I find myself watching it and liking it. And yes, I know you wait for me patiently when I have to go change a load of laundry or something.
I'm not saying that. I get home before you. So sometimes I have an hour or two to kill and there's nothing on TV. And that's like tonight, knowing we were going to talk about it, I was like, oh, I could watch the next episode. I was like, no.
You can.
No.
Then you have to watch it again.
Well, no, because then, sometimes he goes off and watches things without me, and then I'm like, oh. So I would never do that to him because I'm a better person than he is.
Absolutely. Oh, hey. So we do have, if you go back and listen to episode 225 of the podcast, we had Matilda from Charlotte Comic Con on. It's August 18th and 19th, their first two-day show, which is really exciting. But very special guests. They have their artist, Rick Leonardi, who did the first cloak and art for the first Cloak and Dagger
series,
yeah, which was really cool. And he also did another Marvel comic book that I just love, which was Spider-Man 2099, which is set in the far future.
Ooh, yeah, so definitely, if you've been watching Cloak and Dagger and enjoying it, then make sure to come out Charlotte Comic-Con. If these artists and creators didn't come up with this content, we wouldn't have it to watch. So
absolutely. Go get your stuff signed or buy some books there and get them signed. And boy, that's awesome.
And what would your grade be, Tibbles?
I'm going to say a C. To Matt's point, I don't think I'm the demographic. Not that that necessarily bothers me, because I will, watch the OC, as a 75-year-old and enjoy it. But I don't think that Tyrone in particular is a particularly charismatic actor, the guy who plays him. I think I find him to be sort of low energy and sort of mumbly sometimes. And I keep on thinking, come on, kid, let's get some energy going.
I think you'll see that start to change.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, based on the first three episodes is all I can judge. I also am not a huge fan. There is, and understandably so, I understand most stories need flashbacks and stuff, but there is obviously an enormous amount. It's like you're running along with a scene and then boom, all of a sudden there's 10 minutes of a flashback, and
it's very jagged.
And you do definitely, I'll give the story this. You want to know what's going on. You do want to find out what is happening and how they're connected. And I mean, obviously, how they're connected because they're both in the water, but what that means for them, and do they have any, do they need to rely on each other for their powers, that kind of thing. So there definitely is, you want to find out. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Just the show itself is taking forever to get to the point for me. So there's a lot of religious image, religion, the voodoo stuff doesn't bother me as much because it's sort of expected for the New Orleans thing. And I'm kind of feeling that probably has something to do with that cloak.
It does.
Yeah. Appearing, but there's a lot that Tyrone goes to a religious school, and he's on a sports team, and his coach is very religious, and there's just a lot of religion happening. And I'm kind of I find myself rolling my eyes a little bit, as terrible as that might sound, because it's not presented in a way that I find interesting. It just feels like something just to make it even more convoluted in a way. So I didn't hate it. Like I said, I think the story is really interesting. I don't find particularly Tyrone, but even the girl I think is a little they feel a little the best sort of analogy I can make is that they're the ones on Fear the Walking Dead as as opposed to the ones on The Walking Dead.
Okay.
You kind of like, they're kind of the like B cast sort of. Like, that's the feeling I'm getting from them so far.
It's not well-known actors, and it's not a well-known storyline. Yeah. So I can totally see what your point on that. I do think that a lot of the questions that you were just saying that bug you start to get answered in 4 and 5.
So maybe I'm gonna revisit it, and maybe we'll have another discussion. We'll update everybody and go, I love the show so much. I want to love it.
It does pick up, but no, I know what you mean, because there are series that they take a little bit longer to get into, and it's always, I'm always like, wow, it's like, usually I'll stick with something, but I'll be annoyed. And then I kind of hold it against the thing until season 2 or 3 when they're actually in their stride. And it's like, but I think about all those people that just like check out after one episode. If it's slow, they're just like, nah, that's not for me.
Right.
And they're missing out, but it's like, you know, not everybody gives a show a shot. And I will say now with things like these streaming services, shows don't really get canceled as much anymore. It's like you at least get your season out because they filmed most of it ahead of time. And
yeah, so I would definitely say check out the next 3 episodes. And then if you still don't like it, then I think you're probably not going to. Yeah. But I definitely felt like 4, 5, and 6, I was a lot more intrigued than 1, 2, and 3. I did have the same thing. Okay. Very jagged flashbacks and just being like, can you tell me one thing instead of just raising 27 more questions?
Right.
So, but 4, 5, and 6, you do start to get pictures of what's going on, and they start to understand their powers better. So, they start to have more results.
Well, I look forward to that.
Yeah. And there definitely is, a connection with them that I think is a unique one for superheroes. So
interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's it. So, we'll be going to talk about music next time. And we've got some great guests lined up over the next couple of weeks, so make sure to come and check us out. And if we're jagged and you feel like we're draggy, let us know. You can be heyyou@guardiansofthegeekery.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Guardians of the Geekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.